Well, good afternoon, brethren. It's good to be here in Fort Worth with all y'all. Good to see everybody. Glad everybody's in good health and doing well. Some of the people I've talked to, and it's good to see y'all. It's just great. Look, I'm going to get right into it, being it's a split sermon. So if you'll turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I'm going to skip down to verse 3 and read through 3 through 6. So Psalm 100 and starting in verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and be in His courts with praise. He thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Very key scripture. I think God's just reminding us that we need to be thankful for the blessings we have, particularly as a nation. But I think many times we take these things for granted, and we don't appreciate the freedoms we have here. And the ability that we have to worship the way we come on a Sabbath, and we are able to carry on with the things that we are blessed to. Here recently, a couple of weeks back, we kept Thanksgiving. And it's a lot, most Americans, a day that with family, together with family, having turkey dinner, watching football, and whatever. But sometimes across the nation, what we have done is we lost, nothing wrong with having turkey dinner and watching football. But what we lost is this a relationship with God. We've taken Him kind of out of the picture. We aren't thankful for the things we have. We don't pause. There was a time when there was people here that went to church on Thanksgiving Day, actually went to church. Praise God. Because if you go back to the beginning, that was the whole idea. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if we look at the nation we live in today, in reality, the country is on the verge of complete disaster, and the majority of the nation is either in total ignorance or ignoring the conditions we're living in. They're getting on with their everyday life, nothing wrong with that, but they haven't addressed reality. What's actually happening around them, the things that are coming. I was on the phone yesterday, one of these video type relationships with a vice president for British Petroleum, big oil company. And we were on the phone for about an hour and a half. And they were talking about their planning out 10 years. And they're looking at the downgrading of their whole organization based on the pressure they're getting from outside sources to pare the company down, stop making, carbon emissions into the atmosphere. Lots of pressure on these companies that we don't realize that's going on all the time. And they are in the process of downgrading and laying off a lot of people that are associated with the oil and gas area. Now, there's things we can do in that area, but still it's a major problem. Our nation is on a fast track to self-destruction, many ways, on a personal, national, and international level. Pure, unbridled hatred. I've never seen that displayed so openly, even in regard to some of our officials and high offices. I don't think in all the years I've been alive, I've never seen the total anger and hatred being displayed. I mean, you might disagree with somebody, but to display the kind of anger that is out there and the hatred, pure hatred, that is displayed. Our nation has rejected God. They rejected His law. Today we live in a country divided morally, politically, and spiritually. When you break it all down, that's what we're seeing in our nation today. I don't watch media very often, the big newscasts like CNN and various things. Quite frankly, I've never seen a situation where the language that they use is just atrocious. I mean, it's nothing for them to say curse words, taste God's name in vain, express total hatred for leadership. And it's just appalling that this exists in our nation, if we come to that level. And, of course, they have their own ideas of how they want to betray the media out there. So we have a situation which, if we're not careful, we get sucked up into it in the complacency that we see out there. I'm going to quote some leaders, and I'm doing this for a reason. I'm taking us back. I know when I was a young guy coming up, and I mean, I'm talking about real little, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old, there was a librarian in the town, elderly lady. She kind of took me under her wing, and she gave me some books on the founding fathers. And I took an interest in that, and they really helped me, I think, shape a lot of values that I developed as a young man growing up, because some of these men were very articulate, very sharp, Christian men. They had their faults, just like the rest of us, but they had some principles that guided our nation eventually. So I'm going to quote a couple of these guys, like William Penn wrote, "If men will not govern, be governed by God, then they will be governed by tyrants." And we've seen that displayed so many times. When you throw God out the window, then other people get in charge. Satan has his way. We of all people know that Satan is in charge of this world. It's his ways that we're seeing being extant throughout the world. And it's going to get worse and worse as time goes on, as we know, even in our own nation here, which has been basically a Christian-based relationship throughout this country. George Washington, the very first president of our nation, issued a Thanksgiving proclamation in 1789. I'm just going to read a piece of it because it's very interesting how these men focused on their relationship with God and how he played a part in the role that they played in forming this nation. And I don't think a lot of people really focus on it, though they know about George Washington. He was our first president. He went across the river, and he won the battle with Britain and set us free and so on and forth. But these men had a relationship with God in their own way, which really reflected how we were formed as a nation. George Washington then said in his proclamation, I'll just read portions of it, said, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts that the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness." He gave credit to God for giving us the peace. Of course, he gave great praise. I mean, you think about it. There was no way the United States or the small colonies should have won a battle or a war against a major nation as powerful as England at that time. But they prevailed under the if you read history, how they did it was just amazing. So God had to have it handled in making this thing work. It goes on down, I'm going to read one more. It says, "And also that we may then unite to most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of the nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions." So I find it very easily when you start looking at these leaders, what they believed, what they stood for, and why God put them in positions at a very critical time in the forming of this country. And it's carried right down to be the most powerful nation in the whole world over the last 200-300 years. In Psalm 95, let's go back a couple of pages here. Psalm 95 and verse 2. It says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God." So this is something that we need to do. is not just take everything that we go through life for granted, but realize that the blessings we have, the calling we have. How often do we thank God for just calling us out of this world and opening up our minds and to accept His way of life, to be baptized, have hands laid on us, and His Holy Spirit dwelling in us, to give us an understanding that many people would like to have and don't. To know the purpose of life, to know what our plan is, what our goal is, to be in the kingdom of God and be a servant of God. Some of these issues that I'll talk about really apply to us as we start. Right now, we're in training for the kingdom of God. And the leadership that we're going to have to display as individuals, leading people that are coming out of a devastated world, and they're going to be shocked, they're going to be confused, and God is going to use us, train us, to be able to serve them when they come into the kingdom, into the millennium. So think about some of these issues. Instead, on a day set aside from giving God thanks for many blessings, I was reading, He has given the country, people gathered in many of the major cities in the country, and they were protesting against the colonists. The people that found this country, they were destroying statues and tributes to George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Lincoln, just you name it. People that were outstanding leaders for this country that gave us and fought for what we stand for and what we've been able to have the freedoms for. And people were going around protesting about this thing, calling them names, cursing, not praying, not giving God's thanks for what they have, the freedoms they had. And these men that were led by God in many ways to be able to do these things for us. Today, the vast majority of Americans do not know the history of the founding of this country. They don't have the history. They don't believe in the people, how they came to this country to start with. You go back to the founding pilgrims that came into our country. They had the first Thanksgiving, you might say, for the survivors, because if you look back in history, how many of these pilgrims who came away from England or different places for religious freedom to be able to believe and worship God the way they would like to, and they brought the Bible with them into this country, and half of them died, perished, they didn't make it, but those that survived had a Thanksgiving tribute to God. A whole day celebration with the Indians, whatever, that lasted almost a week, of thanking God for giving them the freedom to be able to worship and be in a land where they had freedom. And of course, that's carried on down right down to this day. First Thanksgiving was 1621, and it's carried on traditional all the way down to our time now. But we had a new nation, and a totally different sense of freedom was established based on the Bible. When the early leaders of our nation came together to write the Constitution and set up the government, these men established this country under God with the Ten Commandments in mind. Whether they understood totally, we don't know, but certainly God was certainly involved, and we can see that God was displaying the promises He gave to Abraham and instrumenting it through these people and these men. Whether they understood that or not, I know that they, from what I've read, they were very big into the Old Testament. They understood the blessings of Abraham as it was passed down to Isaac and Jacob and on to Joseph and then to his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So when you look at our foundation, I would just encourage us to stop every once in a while. I'm not saying we don't, but I have to remind myself on a day set aside just for Thanksgiving, that I keep my mind on the fact that there's so much to be thankful for. Every day of our lives, we thank for the breath we breathe, thanks to God, and the families we have, the surrounding support system we have here in the Church of God, the place we are to come in peaceful relationships. But we just have to remember, these blessings were not of our doing. They came down through Abraham's faithfulness and then passed on to his sons all the way down. So many of our founding fathers were of Christian background and formed the Constitution based on the assumption this country would be a Christian country. I think that's very important to realize. Worshiping the great Creator God and the values written into the Constitution reflect the influence of the Ten Commandments. It is very apparent which God was to be worshipped. I don't think they ever imagined that we would ever get in the shape that we are currently. But Patrick Henry, one of the patriots of that time, said, quote, 3 millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, he just reminds us, he says, besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. And of course, France came to our aid during the war that he was talking about. But George Washington once also had a prayer he issued out. He said, Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou will keep the United States in thy holy protection. How many times do we have people in Congress today asking God for anything? Fact is, we're doing away with most of it. He also went on to say, it is impossible. This is a quote from George Washington. You know, and I think some of these quotes are very interesting. It says, it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and without the Bible. Now, this was the first president of the United States who recognized that we didn't have God based on the Bible and his instructions and the Ten Commandments. And you'll see that throughout this whole thing. There's handwritten documents of George Washington, and he wrote prayers down. And these men were very articulate. It's amazing to me the language they use. I mean, it kind of puts us to shame today because most people don't, including myself, don't write like this today, which we should be able to, but they did. He had a personal prayer by George Washington. I'll just quote a couple of things here. He said, Most glorious God, in Jesus Christ, my merciful and loving Father, I acknowledge and confess my guilt in the weak and imperfect performance of the duties of this day. I have called on thee for pardon and forgiveness of my sins. And he then drops down a little further. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee in thought, word, and deed. You think that David was the gentleman who wrote, articulated things to God over and over again. But I think it's very interesting that he's been able to bring up. He then drops down. He said, I confess them, O Lord, with shame and sorrow, detestation and loathing and desire to be vile in my own eyes, as I have rendered myself vile in thine. I humbly beseech thee to be merciful to me in the free pardon of my sins for the sake of thy dear Son and only Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. The men used the Bible an awful lot in a lot of their quotes in leading this nation. And John Adams was interesting quote here. He said, Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited in the Bible. Every member would be obligated in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow man. Where have we read that before? And to piety, love, and reverence towards Almighty God. He goes on to say, what a utopia, what a paradise would this region be? Well, we know that utopia will come with the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his government on this earth, and probably not before then, obviously. So God gave a commission to Joshua that carries on down to this day. Let's go to Joshua 1. Joshua 1, verse 1. I'm going to skip down from there to verse 5 through 8. Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, then I'm dropping down to verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. And that applies to each and every one of us being called by God today. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. This book, the Bible, of the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So we got an instruction book here to Joshua on how to lead a nation, how to prepare himself for dealing with problems with a nation. Same applies to us as we're being trained by God to rule in the kingdom of God. So when you look at some of these things that God says or these men have written or get instruction given to Joshua and apply it to yourself, just say, put your name in there. Put your name, Scott Stewart. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth because you're being trained to be a leader in the kingdom of God. And so everything you learn from God's word gives you instruction. And if it's the only book you ever had, it's got everything you ever need to lead and be as successful, no matter what you take as a thing you want to do in your life. The Bible will lead you through that. It's our training for the kingdom, but it's also our training for everyday life that we have today. I'm going to skip down to Deuteronomy 28. We know this very well, the blessings. I'm just going to stay with the blessings today, what God promised his people. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, what I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now overall, this nation has been blessed no matter. And even we've broken his laws from time to time over and over again. But because of the blessings of Abraham, he's protected his country, given him power, and they've always come back to God for the most part. And this is what he's saying here. If you obey my voice, if you keep my laws and my commandments, I will set your nation above all, and they will know that you're being protected by God. Let's go down to verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Well, as a nation overall, we've certainly been protected over some very unusual circumstances. And God has protected this nation and its leaders under some of the strangest situations you could ever imagine. We've had civil war in our nation, which should have wiped out most countries. But we survived. More men died in that war until the Second World War before we ever equaled that many men lost in our nation. But we have taken God, unfortunately, out of the government, out of our courts, and out of our schools. No longer taught. The Bible is not an instrument to be used in any of these facilities. You don't have the freedom anymore to teach your children in the schools what they should be learning, God's way and the principles of God. The leaders of this nation could do well going back and reviewing the beginning of our country and realize that these men created a nation out of nothing. They had to sit down and form the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence to start with, and then the Constitution of the United States and set it up. I mean, many of you might have drafted some major documents before or contracts or whatever. It's not an easy task, but then when you're starting to form a nation and you're coming up with principles and laws and how you're going to govern people and do it right the best you can, these men did an amazing job. Proverbs 33, verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he, God, shall direct your paths. Now these men relied on that. They trusted in God. They trusted in his leadership. And they were able to form a nation out of nothing and pull it together under the most dire circumstances you can imagine. Angelo Corville, which is a writer of early American history, that he says, quote, "Nowhere else in Christendom was the Old Testament read so much and the notion of God as lawgiver so widespread." He goes on to say that the tendency for Americans to liken themselves to the children of Israel, that's very interesting, isn't it? The children of Israel, was so common that it even spread among the Negro slaves. He said, "Sincere religion and high morality were something immediately obvious to the visitors to our country." High morality, religious values, certainly not the case today. Morality is a word in the dictionary, but not applied in our everyday life, unfortunately. John Adams, one of the second president of the United States, he said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Our leader said that while the Constitution's law of liberty, I thought that was an interesting word, allowed Americans complete freedom to do as they please, religion, God's law, prevented them from doing that which was immoral and spiritually unjust, Without the moral restrictions of a higher spiritual law, the liberty afforded Americans in the Constitution would be abused. Now, what does God do? He gives us freedom, doesn't he? He gives us the freedom to make choices based on his word, his laws, and his commandments. And he says, I'm not going to put a lock on you. I'm going to tell you there's blessings and there's cursings. You can make it into the kingdom or not. You can obey me and obey my laws and my commandments and make it into the kingdom of God. Not that easy. Got Satan out there banging on your door all the time trying to deceive you. And he's having a good time in the United States right now because we're deteriorating rapidly. I mean, we no longer keep the Sabbath. We don't keep a lot of the conditions that God says we should be keeping in the Bible. William Bennett, who wrote a book called Our Sacred Honor, very interesting book, he said, what made this company different from all others was a prevalent belief that God played a direct and active hand in founding a people. So it's interesting that you've got people observing the conduct and the conditions that existed at that time and the leadership of the country that had values, moral values, that were important to them. Today, you look around Congress and they just had a big thing about what they call these Chinese girls that are coming to this country as spies and playing upon the morality of our senators and leaders of our country to get information. So it just shows you how far we've declined. If a person came into the States today, would they see a difference? Or would they see everyday life just like it is elsewhere in the world? He said that like the Jerusalem of old, America's new Jerusalem was to become God's promised land to the oppressed and the example to all humanity and all humankind. But I mean, that's a good example of how the blessings of Abraham handed on down to our people. Our blessings are a result of God making good on his promises. Abraham, we understand that. Not by any merit of our own, nothing that we deserve by our action, but they certainly can have an effect on how we lead. And it is a gift to us because of the faithfulness of Abraham and his descendants. It's no surprise this country has been so strong and so advanced. Isaiah 65 and verse 24, one scripture there. God has protected us so much that a lot of people don't realize it. He says in Isaiah 65, verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Let's give one example. When Pearl Harbor was bombed, what the enemy did not realize, we were very vulnerable at that time. They could have swept right into the west coast of the United States, and we might be speaking a totally different language today. Because they had a free ride all the way. They did not do it. So we wonder, well, did God have something to do with that? He wasn't through with this nation yet. But there's going to come a time when God is saying, I've had all I can take. They're killing my children through abortion. They're disobeying my laws, my commandments. They're fighting amongst themselves. Selfishness, immorality is extant. And it's just like other nations in the scriptures that you can read. He gives up on them and he says, okay, I'm taking my blessings off of you and off my protection. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. There is hope, but many people won't turn that way. But we as the people can make a difference in our own lives, in the eyes of our church. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. How much could be accomplished if we would turn to God in prayer as a country, make a huge difference. In the end, our protection will come from God. Those that are faithful and have not forgotten him, it will come from him. There is a loving and compassionate creator waiting to save man from himself. Perhaps it will happen in this very end time. Thomas Jefferson, one of our leading men at that time, stated his concern. And he's got some beautiful writings if you want to read some. He says here, this is a quote from Thomas Jefferson. The God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are a gift from God? That's very interesting. That's where you take advantage. You assume everything is free. There's no free ride anywhere. You have to rely on God for protection and leadership and whatever. And the liberties we have, even in our beliefs as a church, Paul talks about the liberties. I mean, a lot of these quotes, a lot of these things like Adams talked about, piety and love for one another, that's right out of the Bible. I mean, he was a study student of the Bible. Well, go to Zephaniah 2 and verse 1. Zephaniah 2, verse 1. God gives us a warning here. He always gives us a warning. Always gives us a chance for repentance. A lot of his scriptures, and he says, such and such, such, if you will do such and such. If you will do this. If you will do this or that. God always gives us an opportunity for repentance. He says here in Zephaniah 2, verse 1, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O nation, not desired shameless, as he said, one other quote there. Before the decree is issued, before the day passes like chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And I tell you what, tribulation might be bad. I don't want any part of God's anger. When he takes that last year of the 3.5 years and he issues out his anger upon this earth, believe me, I want to be in a place of safety or in the grave, wherever it is. I don't want to be around here when God puts out his anger on the earth. So, brethren, just want to remind you that there was a founding nation led by God, gave us the blessings and the freedom we have today based on the Bible. The pilgrims came over here originally for religious freedom. And it's the only place in the whole world in which the gospel can go out to the rest of the world. You think about it, our broadcast Beyond Today, our literature, all founded here, other churches of God doing their part. But it's the only nation that we have the freedoms to be able to do these things. I've lived in Europe for 6 years at a time, and I saw what happened to Rhodesia. Rhodesia was a very prosperous British colony, and they let the locals take it over. And we've seen one dictator after the other, and we've seen that nation go down the tubes, and it's been just one chaotic mess after another. We have members there we need to be praying about because there's starvation. They don't have the food they need. A lot of the conditions have been their bank accounts have been taken over by the government. And we've even had members in the church here right now that come from that part of the country. Shannon Sweat, the Strausses, and they can tell you stories that stand your hair on. And the freedoms we have that we take for granted, a lot of these countries just don't have. So my point today is that we can take lessons out of our founding fathers and apply them to our training today and realize that we're being trained for a greater cause, to lead a people out of this nation, out of the tribulation, out of the chaos that's going to be existing, and to lead them into a different way of life, to teach them God's way of life. And that's what we're being trained for right now, brethren. So keep that in mind.